Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles. Yes, you at home, you online, open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Last time we went through verse 17 of chapter 3. We're going to start with verse 17 because, again, even though we're breaking this into pieces, it was written as one letter. And I hope that when you get a letter from someone, you don't read it just a little bit one day and a little more the next. I hope you read the whole letter because that's the intent. But we're studying it, and so we look at it in smaller pieces. But beginning in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and reading through the end of the letter, this is God's word. "And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and don't be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they won't become discouraged. Slaves, obey your human masters in everything. Don't work only while being watched as people pleasers, but work wholeheartedly, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do it from the heart as something done for the Lord and not for people, knowing that you will receive the reward of an inheritance from the Lord. You serve the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for whatever wrong he has done, and there is no favoritism. Masters, deal with your slaves justly and fairly, since you know that you too have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door to us for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains, so that I may make it known as I should. Act wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. Tychicus, our dearly loved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know how we are, and so that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, a faithful and dearly loved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you about everything here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you greetings, as does Mark, Barnabas's cousin, concerning whom you've received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And so does Jesus, who is called Justice. These alone of the circumcised are my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. He is always wrestling for you in his prayers so that you can stand mature and fully assured in everything God wills. For I testify about him that he works hard for you, for those in Laodicea, and for those in Hierapolis. Luke, the dearly loved physician, and Demas, send you greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters in Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her home. After this letter has been read at your gathering, have it read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And tell Archippus, pay attention to the ministry you have received in the Lord so that you can accomplish it. I, Paul, am writing this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This is the conclusion of Paul's letter, and he's writing to a church that faced problems, as all churches do, and he's talked with them about doctrinal matters and about how to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And then he gives this wonderful summary statement in chapter 3, verse 17. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then he gives examples. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Would wives have to be told to do that if it came naturally? That's not our natural human response. If you go all the way back to the curse in Genesis, part of the curse is that the wife not just has to submit, but that she will want to dominate. The term that's used there about mastery is one that a lot of folks don't understand. When it says your desire will be for your husband, that's the same term that is used just a few verses away when it's describing what sin wants to do to Cain. Sin is crouching at the door, desiring you. That's the temptation. That's the struggle. Just as Adam is told that he needs to tend the land, that was not a new thing. He was doing that before the fall, before the curse. The difference is that now tending the land will be met with weeds and thorns and the sweat of his brow. It's now a difficult thing to do what he's called to. And likewise, for the wife, it is a difficult thing to have to submit to the husband, because we husbands are not perfect. We're not always right. We're not always wise. Does this call to submission on the part of wives mean that a wife must endure abuse? No. That's not the same thing. And does it mean that if the husband says, I want you to drive the getaway car when I rob the bank, you've got to submit to your husband? No. We've said over and over, and it applies to wives, it applies to children, because they're just a couple of verses down. No one has authority to require you to do something that God forbids. And no one has authority to forbid that which God requires. So if you're in a situation, an abusive situation, where someone is trying to make you do something that God says in his word is wrong, you don't submit to that. And children who are in abusive situations, you don't have to submit and do things that God says are wrong. But if you're being asked to do something that is not sinful, it's just not your favorite thing to do, do it. And do it as unto the Lord. So wives are to submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And husbands, you are to love your wives and not be bitter toward them. Another translation says, and not be harsh with them. But love your wives. Well, what does that look like? How difficult can that be? I love my wife. She's lovable. Well, read 1 Corinthians 13, and then you get an idea of what the calling is here. We are to love our wives. That means being patient and kind and unselfish, not keeping a record of wrongs. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. We've already clarified that doesn't mean that you obey them if they're trying to get you to do something sinful. You don't have to be a drug runner. You don't have to lie for them. You don't have to do things that are sexually immoral. In fact, you must not. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they won't become discouraged. There's a command for the children to submit, to obey, but there's also the command to the fathers not to be abusive. Slaves, obey your human masters in everything. Same rule applies. Don't lie for your boss. Don't falsify anything for your boss. But understand that if your boss says, I need you to do this, and it's like, oh, I'd rather you get somebody else to do that. I prefer doing this kind of thing. No, do what you're asked. Not because your boss is your favorite person on the planet. Do what you're asked as unto the Lord. That's what Paul says. Don't work only while being watched as people pleasers, but work wholeheartedly fearing the Lord. And whatever you do, do it from the heart as something done for the Lord and not for people. That applies whether you're an employee or a slave, whether you are a child, whether you are a wife, whether you are a husband. Go all the way back up to 3:17. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So do what you're doing as something done for the Lord, verse 23, and not for people, knowing that you will receive the reward of an inheritance from the Lord. You serve the Lord Christ. Are you doing it for the Lord? Whatever God's put you in, whatever your circumstances are, do what you do for the Lord, because if you work for him, doing the best you're able, working from the heart for the Lord, God promises that he'll reward you. The corporation may not, but God will. And the wrongdoer will be paid back for whatever wrong he has done, and there's no favoritism. You don't have to get back at anybody. God promises he will deal with the wrongdoer, and he will. God will make sure that happens. Masters, deal with your slaves justly and fairly, since you know that you too have a master in heaven. So, devote yourselves to prayer and stay alert in it with thanksgiving. Our prayers should be filled with thanksgiving, but we should stay alert as we pray, because I'll tell you, I'm having written books on prayer and having spent a lot of time in prayer, I know that there's sometimes a temptation to allow prayer just to become sort of rote and let our minds wander. Don't just do things out of habit. Do what God has called us to with prayer and staying alert with thanksgiving.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
At the same time, Paul says, pray for us that God may open a door to us for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains. That is a good thing to pray for me. That is a good thing also to pray for yourself. Pray that God will give you opportunities to share the gospel. This is something I've done for years, and God faithfully opens the door, sometimes in surprising ways, sometimes in amusing ways. Let me tell you something, folks. We need to pray for God to give us opportunities. That's what Paul asked people to pray for him. Pray for us that God may open a door to us for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains, so that I may make it known as I should. Then he says, act wisely toward outsiders. You need, if you are in Christ, to see yourself as part of God's holy people and understand that people who don't know Christ are outsiders. You're not trying to become one of them. You're not trying to fit in with the crowd. The crowd is headed to hell. You don't want to be on the broad road. You don't want to be the popular person that everybody thinks is just part of the gang. Say, well, don't you want to reach out and build relationships with lost people? Absolutely. But it's with an eye toward getting them to turn around. They're headed the wrong way. If all you do is join them in their behaviors and in their attitudes and in their goals, you're going the wrong way. A follower of Christ is one who has repented, turned, made a U-turn, and you're now going in a different direction. That means you're going to be swimming upstream. And so act wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time, and let your speech always be gracious. I would not suggest that if you want to reach lost people, outsiders, that you say to them, turn or burn. That's not the most gracious message. Maybe true, but it's not the truth spoken in love. Instead, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. You need to say things that bring preservation and create thirst in people. Tychicus, our dearly loved brother, faithful minister and fellow servant of the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. Paul says, I'm not going to write all the stuff about me in this letter. Tychicus is being sent to fill you in. I've sent him for this very purpose, so that you may know how we are, and he may encourage your hearts. Paul's in prison. He's going to say over in verse 18, remember my chains. Paul is in prison, but he's not writing, poor me. He's saying, remember my situation, pray for me, but he's not saying, pray that I get out of the chains. He's saying, pray that God opens an opportunity for me to share the gospel with people. That's what I'm looking for. Now, if that means being in chains, so be it. If it means getting out of chains, Paul would prefer it. But the main thing he's looking for is the opportunity to spread the gospel, because that's the calling on his life. And he says, Tychicus is going to come. He's going to fill you in about me and my circumstances, and you'll be encouraged, that he may encourage your hearts. And then he says he's coming with Onesimus. Now, Paul has spoken of slavery and how people should behave as slaves. Onesimus was a runaway slave whom Paul was sending back to the place he was from. He says, he's one of you, a faithful and dearly loved brother who is one of you. He writes a separate letter to Onesimus's owner and says, listen, he's become a believer. He's been tremendously helpful to me in the ministry. I'm going to send him back to you with this letter. If he owes you anything, charge it to my account. And don't forget, you owe me your life. I love Paul. He was inspired by the Lord to write that. And what it does is it puts this business of slavery in an entirely different context. Because he says, this is your brother. Don't punish him for the mistakes he's made. He's your brother. But remember, Onesimus is being sent back. He's being sent back with a letter, praise the Lord, to a Christian master, praise the Lord. But he's being told, you need to go back there. And so Paul commends him even as he sends him back. He says he's a faithful and dearly loved brother who is one of you. They'll tell you about everything here. Then he says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you greetings. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, is there as a prisoner with him. As does Mark, Barnabas' cousin. Now, if he comes to you, welcome him. Do you remember in the book of Acts when Paul and Barnabas had a falling out because Barnabas wanted to take Mark along on a trip? And Paul said, no way. He's a quitter. He quit on us. He didn't stay the course. Now, obviously, there's been healing in that relationship. And Mark has been there. He's helping Paul. And Paul will write of him elsewhere what a blessing he is and how he values him. Mark, Barnabas's cousin, may come to see you. You've received instructions about him. If he comes, welcome him. So does Jesus, who's called Justice. I can understand why a guy named Jesus would want to be called Justice, lest there be any confusion. Okay? These alone of the circumcised are my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they've been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who's one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. He's always wrestling for you in his prayers. One of our church members came up to me on Sunday, and he said, were you having a real challenging time early this week? And he asked some questions that were insightful, and I said, yes. And he said, I was really praying for you. I just felt really burdened to pray for you. That's what Epaphras was doing. He didn't just say, God bless Jim. He really, as he prayed, asked the Lord to guide him, and then he prayed accordingly. If you don't know what it is to wrestle for someone in your prayers, ask the Lord to show you. And the consequence will probably be that you or someone you love is going to go through some tough things. But as they do, you'll have the opportunity to grow tremendously in your prayer life. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters in Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her home. And he says, after this letter's been read at your gathering, have it read also in the church of the Laodiceans. Pass the word around. They didn't have printing presses like we do. So everything had to be written out by hand. And he says, I want you to read what I wrote to the church in Laodicea, and I want them to read this letter. And he says, and tell Archippus, pay attention to the ministry you've received in the Lord so that you can accomplish it. I've known people who got awfully distracted from what God had called them to, and they weren't focused on it like they should have been, and they need the word that Paul spoke to Archippus. Pay attention to the ministry you have received in the Lord. God has given you not only spiritual gifts, but open doors. Pay attention to it. The reason you need to pay attention to it is so that you can accomplish it. There's a mission. There's a task. There's something God has called you to do. Pay attention. Get it done. I, Paul, am writing this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Paul says, I want you to know this is the real deal. This is my handwriting. You know it. But I want you to understand something. This isn't just a letter from Paul. This is God's word to us. And that's why he's able to speak to them and to the folks in Laodicea and to us today. Grace from the Lord. We can't earn it, but we can receive it. I hope that whatever you're going through, whatever pressures or anxieties you may be feeling, please understand. You can rest in the Lord. He is more than enough to meet every need.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.